Good evening. My name is Remington Bain. Oh, and I'm going to be reading off this. I could not memorize all of this tonight. And as president of the MUM Global Student Council, I would like to warmly welcome you to our 35th annual winter celebration. As is our tradition, we celebrate and welcome the beginning of each season, spring, summer, autumn, and winter, with appreciation and joyfulness. The theme of this winter celebration is fulfillment, enjoying the wholeness of life, peace, prosperity, and all possibilities. At our seasonal celebration, we present awards to those individuals and organizations in the community who, through their success and achievements, have expressed the greatest creativity and leadership, which inspires the whole community for higher knowledge and greater achievement. Starting each season with a celebration creates a powerful moment for prosperity and progress, motivating the successful people in each area towards greater responsibility for raising the quality of life in the communities. Each celebration sets the season in its tempo of success for noble aspirations for the higher achievements. Each day of the season rises in celebration, life, and fulfillment. Lighting the light. Let us begin our celebration this evening with lighting the lights. On behalf of the students of Maharishi University of Management, I would like to invite the GSC to light the light for this evening's celebration.
Okay. So, on behalf of His Holiness Maharishi Mahesh Yogi and the Global Country of World Peace, I light this light symbolic of pure consciousness, the light of life for all mankind.
Cutting the cake is symbolic of the action necessary to create heaven on earth, wishing long life in immortality to all the citizens of Fairfield and Maharishi Vedic City and through the whole world. Well, that's fine.
The cake will be served after, so you do have to stay. As is our tradition, we begin by reviewing the achievements of our community for the last quarter. To present the achievements of the City of Fairfield, please welcome the Honorable John Revolinsky, our representative on the Fairfield City Council since 1997, to give recent achievements of the Fairfield community. Ms. Revolinsky is also the Assistant Professor of Business Administration at MUM.
Good evening, everyone. Good evening.
Glad to be here. I have a strict 3-minute limit, so I will get going right to this. This winter,
that one's better, thank you. The Go Green Guide was distributed to almost everybody in Fairfield. Did you all get one? We'll try to get some more here for campus, but one nice thing about it, that it was produced mainly by local people with a grant from the state of Iowa. And one of the ideas of this grant would be that this guide becomes a model for other cities. And so some of the text that was written by actually some of our students here will appear in all kinds of cities all over Iowa in similar Go Green guides. And so there's even a little acknowledgement, which is in too small a font for me to read, but it has something to the effect of thank you to MUM students for their contribution on that. Something I found kind of interesting, we were contacted by the University of Iowa Center for Global and Regional Environmental Research, who produce a radio spot called Iowa Environmental Focus. And they did a nice little spot on Fairfield, and they sent by email to the city council and the mayor a little MP3 of their spot about Fairfield. And they're just like raving about us. And you know, we have really, really garnered a lot of wonderful attention from our whole sustainability efforts here, and due a large part to the good work here at the university. The little text accompanying this MP3 said, "This file showcases Fairfield's efforts to make Iowa a greener place to live and work. Fairfield was chosen for our subseries on Iowa's sustainable cities because of the local hard work going into its green initiative. We wanted to make sure that you knew that the city's efforts in sustainability are gaining recognition. Keep up the good work and listen for this clip on your local radio stations. Congratulations for trailblazing the way to a greener Iowa." Which I thought was nice. Yeah, that's a good achievement of our city. Also, Iowa State University had their eye on us this past season. We had a group of students from a planning course, undergraduate city planning course, decide to adopt our city and do a complete study about Fairfield and our sustainability efforts and give recommendations to the city on what more we can do in changing our code. And actually, we are going to be basing some of our sustainable community development program course in the May on their work. Anyway, they did a nice report for us. And the last thing is that a building has been donated to the city of Fairfield, a former office building. And it is on 23rd Street near the Best Western Inn. And it's going to be probably, we're not sure what we're going to do with it yet. But one of the things that we're strongly considering is trading it for the train station in Howard Park. Yeah. And so we are also about to enter negotiations with Amtrak to try to get them to actually stop in Fairfield. And so that would really make it worthwhile having that train station. So some good things. Yeah. Thank you. Use this one. Thank you.
Representing the Honorable Mayor of Maharshi Vedic City, Raja Dr. Wine, Robert Wine, will be Dr. Kent Boyum, Economic Development Director of Maharshi Vedic City. Dr. Boyum will present recent achievements for Maharshi Vedic City.
Thank you very much. I've met a couple of new people tonight. Since I don't hang around the MUM campus as much as some of the other people do, and I was it's very enjoyable. I came here to Fairfield in 1978, I think, and I was the same age as all of the students here, so I was a student. And it's really been a pleasure to live here and to grow here and to be part of growing Maharshi Vedic City. So I just wanted to say I was enjoying just meeting new people and seeing students and seeing that same enthusiasm I had at that time when I also came here the first time. I also am only going to talk about a couple of things. Dr. Ellen Jones wanted me only to talk about interesting things, so I'll try to do that. You know, she's very protective and appreciates her students a lot. So two things I wanted to talk about is really the sustainability kind of directions that we've always had in Maharshi Vedic City. The city is only 9 years old, so everything we do is new or close to it. And what I did want to talk about tonight is the city's involved in two different state-level organizations that are leaders in sustainability for the state of Iowa. One is called the Iowa Association for Energy Efficiency, and the other is called the Iowa Organics Association. And we don't have a lot of staff at the city, so I'm basically the representative, but I work on the board of directors of those two organizations. And as John said, other people around the state are especially interested in everything that goes on in Fairfield and Marshevetic City, all of Jefferson County, and especially in the areas of sustainability. So I just wanted to mention that I actually monitored a meeting where the mayor of Fairfield, Ed Malloy, was speaking about Fairfield. He's been a longtime friend, and then also I'm on that board, so it was good to have him there, and it was very, very satisfying to see the city of Fairfield and the city of Dubuque present their green plans, and that's what the Iowa Association of Energy Efficiency, also the Iowa Organics Association, had a meeting this fall, and I was able to meet just a week ago with the National Program Director for the Organic Standards Program from Washington, D.C., USDA, and also the Secretary of Agriculture for the state of Iowa. And amazingly, Bill Northey, who's the Secretary of Agriculture, is also much more open to organic agriculture than most of us would think. He sat at the table with me and a couple of other people, and it ends up that he's actually interested in non-GMO production of soybeans, the Secretary of Agriculture of Iowa. So that was exciting. Other than that, I just wanted to talk about our organic production, I think, in the city at our farm. We've just gone through our certification procedure, and since this is the fall, this is the time we have harvests, so we have organic produce and soybeans and all kinds of organic things. So anyway, I just wanted to focus on those two things for you, and thank you very much, and thanks for having me. Thank you.
Thank you. I would like to now introduce Dr. Craig Pearson, our Executive Vice President of MUM and leader of our faculty in hardworking administration. Dr. Pearson has been our Maharshi University management for over 35 years. He is the former Dean of Faculty and a prolific author. Dr. Pearson will review the achievements of Maharshi University of Management. We will consider him one of our best achievements. Thank you so much.
From up here, you can hear the applause, but you can't see anybody. I'd like you to picture a tiny island off the coast of Alaska. Remote, you can't obviously get there by car. It's a 6-hour ferry ride. It's a 45-minute plane ride. And on this tiny island, there's a little village of 450 people of native Alaskans of a tribe called the Tlingit. And they've got a problem. Their energy costs 10 times what we pay for energy. And so they had a solution, and that solution took the form of Lonnie Gamble and Troy Van Beek, one of our Sustainable Living alumni, Ashley Smith, one of our students, Micah Salaberrios, another one of our students, who, with a small $125,000 grant, spent the month of September up there installing solar energy panels, solar hot water, wind turbine monitoring equipment, energy-efficient fixtures. They worked on weatherizing the buildings to prevent energy loss. And the project was so successful that on that basis, they're now applying for a several million dollar grant to duplicate this in native Alaskan villages around southern Alaska. So we are really proud of those students and alumni. They didn't go up there to promote transcendental meditation, but the government liaison overseeing that area was so impressed with them that he's learning transcendental meditation. And when they came back home, they learned that the mayor of Des Moines, Frank County, wanted to have a demonstration project in sustainability for the city of Des Moines. And who did he call on for advice? Robbie Gongwer, Troy Van Beek, Lonnie Gamble, and Amy Greenfield, another one of our graduates. So even in Des Moines, we are seen as leaders in sustainability. And congratulations to them. That's really cool. One more small item on the sustainability front. You have all noticed that we have a different system for recycling. We hope to be able to recycle more and put less in the landfill due to our single stream recycling, which we think will make it easier for people to recycle, and they accept more in recycling than we've been able to do before. Just a couple of other quick achievements. Our first online distance education course, I think, was just started this past week. And that very first course is in Maharshi self-pulse diagnosis taught by Dr. Paul Moorhead. Dr. John Hagelin was the keynote speaker at a symposium of Native Americans in Ottawa, Canada. This was a symposium hosted by the Assembly of First Nations of Canada, part of the 17th Annual Canadian Conference on Global Health. It was sponsored by the University of Ottawa, attended by 450 delegates from 40 countries representing organizations like Doctors Without Borders, the World Health Organization, UNICEF, International Red Cross, UN health agencies, and so on. And in his keynote address, Dr. Hagelin spoke on the need for connecting the source of natural law, connecting to that source within, to bring fulfillment to cultural traditions around the world. And finally, also culturally important, Dr. Raul Calderon and Ken Daly have founded the new Center for the Advancement of Latino-Hispanic Health and Prevention, which will focus on health issues and prevention programs for Latinos, but also for underserved and minority populations in Iowa. Those are just a few of our achievements from this quarter. Thank you.
Thank you. And now I would like to introduce Dr. Richard Bale, director of our award-winning Maharishi School Age of Enlightenment. He received his PhD in Maharishi Vedic Science from Maharishi University of Management and was awarded the Vedavasa Award for Outstanding Doctoral Dissertation. He's had many years of experience establishing and directing schools, and we're happy to have him back in Fairfield. Please welcome Dr. Bale.
The theme this evening is fulfillment, and it is that for me personally, not only to be able to share a little bit about the achievements at Maharishi School, but to be able to thank the university students for the example that you've set. In the school just across the campus, many of the students have not known life without transcendental meditation. Some of them learned when they were 4, others when they were 10, and so they've not known the experience of contrast, what life is like with or without transcendental meditation. So for them to see you come here, as many of you have, learning maybe for the first time when you arrived on campus, but in whatever your history is, to show the appreciation that you have for this knowledge and experience, it's a very powerful impact on them. And I thank you so much for the example that you set and maintaining traditions like this. So my appreciation to the MUM students for the example that you've set to our kids. But it wasn't just for our kids. Our institution started in 1981, and now we're the flagship institution for over 200 schools around the world with tens of thousands of students, including one in Washington, D.C. And last year, we were able to host a delegation of students from the Ideal Academy Public Charter School, Dr. George Rutherford School. And those students came to a different world. They said, shortly after arriving on campus, that they had never been in a place without a subway. They'd never been in a place that was safe. They'd never been in a place that was calm. It was a huge culture shock for them, and in their experience at the school, they really began to understand and appreciate in a much deeper way their experience of transcendental meditation. But still, it was a culture shock, and at a particular point in the weekend when they were struggling with the transition of being here and all, the university students reached out to them. And I want to recognize Antoine, because Andre and I won't be able to stay for the whole celebration tonight, but Antoine and a group of his friends really embraced these students and made them feel a part of our community. And that was a turning point in their weekend experience. And I guarantee you that the students who got off of the bus on Thursday afternoon were not the same ones that got on at the end of their weekend. And again, largely because of the influence of the university students. So thank you, Antoine, to all your friends and the lasting impact that you have with them. If anything, we want this bond with the university to grow, and it has in this last year. Just a few things to share. Jeff Boothby has come over from the Video Media and Communications Department and helped teach our senior boys how to do their own video productions. And so they did that with the intention of being able to connect those with students around the world who practice transcendental meditation. And in the Education Department, under Dr. Jones' care, has been using a room there in our school, and it feels so right to have prospective teachers there within a school, actual context. And so we hope that that'll continue and expand in the months and years to come. But we're also very inspired, of course, by the Sustainable Living Department here. and all that you've achieved. And we've had a success of our own on campus there that's noteworthy. One of our parents was in Nebraska, and she saw at the National Arbor Foundation something called a Nature Explorer classroom and brought the idea back to us. And at one of the previous celebrations, I was able to share that we'd gotten a $32,000 grant for that. And over the last year, we've been able to complete that. But also, the executive director of that program came to campus and was so impressed by what she saw. She said, I want to issue a special invitation for you. I'd like you to go to our special event in Nebraska. It's a biennial event. There'll be 250 delegates there from 35 different countries. And we'd like you to share your success. So we were one of five celebrations of success that night, and that included the Lieutenant Governor of Colorado and a delegation from Australia and one from Nepal. And we said we have to put this within the context of the campus that we live on and the Sustainable Living Center that's being built, and we mentioned the experience in Alaska, and we had slides of that as well. And so it was very well received, enough that they awarded us an additional $10,000 to add permaculture to that playground. So that'll be happening in this next year. And we shared with them our long-term vision to turn one of our buildings there into a sustainable living regional center. And we'd love to have, for example, a seed-to-plate program where students not only grew these items, but they could prepare them in a fully functioning kitchen. And our grants director, Carol Chestnut, and Lori Bauman just submitted an application to a contest called Making Education Great to Microsoft. And the grand prize winner was Maharshi School. And so they got $25,000 for that kitchen project. So we're moving ahead with the inspiration of this department, this community, and I'm so proud that to be able to share this evening with these wonderful award recipients, and our hearts go out to you. I have to say, I know time's really up, but I have to say one more story. I had the opportunity to start a charter school, help with that project in Phoenix in 1996. It was a Hispanic-Latino community. And I really didn't have much of a background in that area, and so I wasn't connecting with the students there as well as one would hope, but Steve Cooperman did. Steve, another award recipient tonight, came over and made such a great connection with those students, and so I'm very, very happy for Steve tonight to be recognized for all of his contributions in this community. I've seen it for a long, long time, so Steve, congratulations, and to all of our recipients, thank you very much.
Thank you, Dr. Bale. May I ask two of the GSC members to join me up on stage? Now we would like to honor our award winners for the winter season. First, we would like to read a section of the Maharshi Award. It's just so everybody has a visual aid. Since we have four recipients to include the group recipient, I'm just going to leave blank the area of achievement and who it's conferred upon. The Maharshi Award is hereby conferred upon for the area of. It is with great joy and appreciation that Maharishi University of Management presents you the Maharshi Award, the expression of the highest esteem of the community. Though your creativity and success in life, you have demonstrated the potential for success inherent in the life of every individual. Your life is a shining example and demonstration to all what is possible when one's life is favored by natural law. Nature's own intelligence, which administers life on Earth and to the whole universe, your positive progressive influence is an essential contribution to the continuing tradition of success in the community. All those who know you and know of your achievements are inspired to rise to higher levels of achievement in their own lives. Maharishi University of Management honors the outstanding men and women whose achievements demonstrate the ability to enhance the quality of individual and community life and thereby bring out on the rising world consciousness of heaven on earth. Success is the display of superior creativity, energy, and intelligence, and reflects profound command of life's inner potential. Drawing upon the deepest level of consciousness, the successful individual is able to act in harmony with the laws of nature and gain the support of nature's intelligence, which brings clarity, strength, and perfection to all the thinking and activity of fully achieving one's noble goals. Though the alliance with nature, successful individuals grace the world around them and progress with progress and prosperity, and in turn gain all support necessary to rise over every great height and fulfillment in life. So I would like to invite Josh Wilson to the stage. Mm-hmm. Our first award for this evening is in the area of education and enlightenment. Education has three components: the knower, the process of knowing, and the known. While traditional education emphasizes what is to be known and the process of gaining knowledge, ideal education emphasizes the knower, in which the consciousness of the student, the container of the knowledge, which must be developed for individuals to unfold their full potential. Knowledge is the structure in consciousness. An individual whose consciousness is fully developed is said to be enlightened, having the ability to accomplish anything and spontaneously, to think and act free from mistakes, the fruit of all knowledge. Josh Wilson.
Hello, everyone. Thank you for coming. So I have a great honor tonight to a group of people at this university who go above and beyond every day. I know they work over the hours that they're supposed to. We're always able to grab them in the, you know, up in Pern or anywhere on campus, and they always do what's right. And they're always our favorite people when it's time to collect our financial aid checks and, you know. Oh, Antoine. Thanks for laughing over everyone else. So what we're going to do is, because there's a group of them, I'm going to ask all of you to come up, and then if Tom could introduce them all, that'd be awesome. So if I could bring up the Enrollment Center team. And they're being presented with the Education and Enlightenment Ministry. We love you.
Thank you very much. Let me start, and I'll introduce everybody who's here first a little bit, and then those who weren't able to come tonight also. Don Wolf joined us recently, and Don has been active in the movement since the 70s, and TM teacher, longtime TM teacher, and we're really lucky to have him join us in the Enrollment Center recently. He's working at the front desk, and working on transcripts and records and all kinds of areas of the center, because when you work at the front desk at the Enrollment Center, you have to learn a little bit of everything. Don is also helping take care of the people around the U.S. who are learning TM course and getting MUM academic credit for it. So thank you very much, Don. Caroline Fonville is graduation director, and many of you probably have visited her to your degree check and select classes. Caroline joined us in the MBA intern program and is from North Carolina, and has just added so much to the Enrollment Center. Your brightness and clarity and ability to keep calm in all kinds of difficult situations is much appreciated. Thank you very much, Caroline. Vina Miller has joined us recently, about a year ago. Yeah, and Vina is longtime working on her, I could just safe to say, working on your spiritual development your whole life, not necessarily within the TM movement, but recently joined us here in Fairfield with your husband, John, and your family, Prana, who's an MUM student, and Anila, who's a graduate student, and his one other daughter, who we hope will come here soon. Anyway, this family is so delightful. They live in my building, and they're just most incredible, wonderful people. And Vina is, as many of you know, is working with Bill Christensen in financial aid, and is extremely expanded heart and just wonderful to students and wonderful to us. And we thank you so much, Fina, for joining us and being here. And then Arla Rabelais. If Arla Rabelais wasn't here, I probably wouldn't be doing this job. Because when I started out as registrar, Arla taught me everything I knew. And Arla works with the faculty behind the scenes to enter all your grades. And Arla's entered thousands and thousands of grades, and I'd never known her once to make any mistakes on grade entry. And besides that, she arranges all the classrooms and takes over for me when I'm gone, and it's she's just incredible, sweet. I've known Arla since 1980. We both arrived here in the same year, and I'm just so happy that she can help us in the university. Thank you very much, Arla. And Neo, probably most of you know that Neo is a star soccer coach, as well as being the Compro graduation advisor. Neo has led our soccer team to victory several times. Neo takes care of all the distance education, Compro and accounting MBA students, as well as the ones here on campus. And he's also working in the EEG lab. If anybody wants a brain scan, they have to see Neo. Neo knows everybody's brain scan, I guess. Yeah, thank you so much, Neo. Neo is a great guy, and we're really happy to have him in the center. And Claudia Rodriguez has been working. If you're an international student, you've probably seen Claudia, because Claudia takes care of international health insurance for students. And in a perfect way, and also works in the staff clinic part-time. And Claudia, you know, dealing with health insurance issues is not necessarily always fun, but Claudia knows exactly what to do and how to make the student claims go through smoothly, and she's such a wonderful addition to our office. We're all really happy to have Claudia with us. Also in the Enrollment Center, of course, you know Bill Christensen. He couldn't be here tonight. He's a director of financial aid. He's also worked for the TM movement since the 70s, and he helped structure the Enrollment Center as it currently exists, instead of separate offices, financial aid, registrar, student accounts. He helped create the systems that linked us all together and put us in one office, which is much, much more efficient. We can't point a finger at that office and say financial aid's the problem, you have to go over and talk over there, because we're all in one office. So thanks very much, Bill, for all your hard work for the university. Gigi Danila is the director of student accounts, and she's also the one that hands out checks. So many of you know her from that. She's done the MBA intern program, and she's from Philippines, and we've also hired in the past her brother and sister. So we hope that she's here a long time, because there are no more children in that family we can hire. She's incredible. Gigi does so much at the front desk. We're really happy to have her. Also, Joni Romas has worked in financial aid for many years and now takes care of the Perkins Loan Collection Department, which is not necessarily the most fun-filled activity, but somebody has to do it. Somebody has to collect the Perkins loans, and Joni does it with grace and ease, and has recently moved all of her operations over to Enrollment Center to make it easier for our students to do the one-stop shopping that we want to see in the Enrollment Center. So thank you also, Joni. If students at MUM are the most incredible students in the world, I'm sure that you come here from all over the world, all over the United States, to develop consciousness, to participate in sustainable living, participate in meeting communications and all the other programs, And it just gives us all such great pleasure to serve you. It's really our joy every day to have you come in. That's why we enjoy working in the Enrollment Center, is because of you. So thank you very much. We also have the great honor of working with the faculty of MUM, who are incredible people. They're experts in their field, and they're devoted to the development of consciousness, and their hearts are so pure and refined. Thank you, the faculty, and also the staff of the university that supports us, and just all the people who work here are amazing. So we're happy to be part of that team. We also depend upon the coherence generated by the Admissible America Assembly and all the people in Fairfield. So thanks go to everybody in Fairfield and all the donors of the university. And of course, Maharshi, who's created this university, our thanks go out to him very much. Nothing would happen, nothing would be here if it weren't for him. So thank you, Maharshi.
I would like to ask Jen Hernandez to come assist me with the next presentation. There she is. Our next Maharishi Award is in the area of celebrations and fulfillments. It expresses the universal principle that fulfillment is natural to life, having its origin in the fullest of the absolute at the basis of all existence. Fulfillment is expressed in individual life with every step of achievement, and is expressed in societies all over the world through festivals and celebrations, especially at this harvest time of year. This universal, timeless, and natural continuum of fulfillment forms the basis of celebration found in all cultures of the world throughout history. At this time, I'd like to invite Antoine Penn to the stage.
I'd like to give this Maharishi Award confirming Antoine Penn, MUM student and musician, for the area of celebrations and fulfillment. Here you go.
Thank you.
Just a little bit about Antoine. I am a first year. This is the first time I do this ever. And I love him to death. I love him to pieces. He's like, I'm from New York City, and I've met so many different people, and to find out he's from New Jersey. But I mean, he's completely, no, he's completely amazing, and it doesn't even matter where he's from. It's just, he's just an amazing person, and just the feel and just the amazing ambience he creates here is so unique that I'm just so grateful and honored to present him this award and to have him share his energy, his love with everyone that he meets, and no matter where we are. I mean, I feel that he is an important factor in making all of us feel at home, no matter where we're from.
Thank you for that beautiful introduction. I really appreciate it. And thank you, everybody else. Really unsure about what to say or how to even accept this award. But I'd like to say I accept it on behalf of all the students and faculty here. And Maharshi, I really, really love Maharshi. And I want to say that appreciation, I guess. I'm so thankful to be embraced by this community, to get 100 hugs a day and give 100 hugs a day, and just everybody greets me so warmly, and I've never been to a place like this where the reception was just so open and everybody is just so self-expressed and willing to do everything they can to make me feel at home and everyone else feel at home. I want to give a special thanks to those people that have been here for like 10 years and 20 years and 30 years that helped, you know, bring Maharshi's vision make it become alive. And like everything they kind of dedicated of their life to create this safe space for people to come here from all walks of life and feel at home, because I definitely feel at home here. I also like to say, this past year has been, past 2 years, I'm going into my third year here at MUM, has been so transformative for me. It's been like a roller coaster of ups and downs and pains and unpreferred ways of being dissolving from my life and lifestyle. And I could just feel like how meditating twice a day and trying to keep the routine just refines and refines my life, and how the people back home benefit from the things that I'm doing here, from being in this expanded awareness and just allowing myself to sink deeper and deeper into this reality. My mother is affected by it. My friends and family are affected by it. When I was back home in Newark, New Jersey, I was happy, but I had a numbness to a lot of things that I needed to change about myself, a lot of things that was wrong in my community. And now I feel like being here at MUM, I've been given a tool to go back into that community and source change for my family, for my friends, for those people who are being killed every day, those people who are being not only killed physically, but live their life like the walking dead. The life is just about the next sensory input, the next stimulant, the next negative coping skill to keep them from having to deal with the painful reality of living in those circumstances. And I feel like we here are the difference. Every time I go into the dome or every time I go into the flying hall, I'm making a difference for the world. We're making a difference for the world. Maharshi set it up so easy so that we can take this information, take this expanded awareness, and bring it back to where it needs to be, in the communities that are impoverished, in the communities where people are dying or people are the walking dead, where they don't know that they're asleep, you know? But I had it in my head that I had to be fully awakened in order to source change for somebody else. And nowhere have I been able, other than this place, to see myself so clearly from the eyes of everybody here that appreciates me so much. And I really appreciate it, because I know and I can feel what we can do in the world. I love you. Thank you.
Thank you, Antoine, for those awesome words. Yeah. Emmanuel, would you like to join us? Our next Maharishi Award is in the area of prosperity and progress. Progress should not be fulfilling to life, and prosperity should not be fulfilling to life, the field of all possibilities. The seed of progress and prosperity is located in the eternal continuum of life, the unbounded field of human intelligence, in which all possibility resides. The purpose of this area is to bring good fortune, good health, and maximum creativity to every business and industry. With that being said, Emmanuel.
So first of all, I just wanted to say thank you to Antoine for this like inspiring words, and it's a hard one to follow. So it was about like a little bit more of a year ago that my buddy Jonathan, who is actually doing the technique right now up there, he asked me if I wanted to come to this meeting of like students. I'm like, what is it about? And he's like, I don't know. They call themselves World Congress. I have no idea what they're doing. So I'm just going with him, and we're going to the library, and there's this bunch of students discussing about like how to change the world and make everything better. I'm like, awesome. And there's this and there's this one guy sitting there. He's like obviously not a student. He's like way too old. He's kind of like sitting there at the side, like not talking much, just listening a lot and like giving his input here and there. But yeah, so I'm like thinking like, who is this strange guy? And yeah, like little did I know how much influence this strange guy would have in my life in the future. Steve likes to work in the background, and from there he helps people. He's working on so many projects. He's helped with Conscious Times, he's helped with the Peer Mentor Program, he's helped with World Congress, he's doing the Bonnell Project, he's helped setting up the beauty shop. And next to that, besides that, he's also mentoring people. He's inspiring student leaders to step up. He's facilitating projects, and he's supporting the community from the background in so many different ways. He has inspired me to take responsibility, to step up as a leader. He has supported me in my personal growth and my understanding of how things actually work. And like, even though I know that he doesn't like this, but it's my honor to bring him up from the background and into the spotlight. Thank you, Stephen.
Thanks, Emmanuel. Yes, this is definitely feels somewhat like a coming out party, in that I'm feeling, for the last 2 years, we started a project called the Bonnell Building Project, and our intention was to do it very much behind the scenes and just have people get involved who were drawn to it. And for me, it's been an amazing experience, and one of the things in reflecting about what I might say this evening, what became very obvious is how, in a very organic, unplanned way, this project called the Bonnell Building Project is intimately linked to this university. And it definitely wasn't the intention. It wasn't some conscious thing, but everything that we're doing is very closely linked to the university. 2 years ago, we decided we wanted to start a community center to support young people pursuing their interests and passions. And the whole idea was we just bought a building and open up the space, and whoever shows up, we say, ask them what do they want to do, and then we find ways to support them in doing that. The people that were involved in that were initially Roland Wells, myself, and Sundar Raman, all with connections to the university. One of the things we decided at the beginning was we wanted to have the whole project be supported by the young people, and so we went out and asked some of the young people in the community to get involved financially in supporting what we needed to do, get this nonprofit off the ground. And we had Andrew Perry, Robbie Gongwer, Channing Congdon, Milo Winningham, again, all, I think they're all MUM graduates, got involved, and they've been involved from day one with this project. And for me to get an award for doing what is the most rewarding, fulfilling thing in my whole life is it's just very hard for me to believe that I should get an award for doing what I love to do every day, and to have the people who show up every day excited and passionate to do all these different projects, for Emmanuel to just sit there and take this stuff in and go out and make things happen at the university, and for all these young people who have showed up in our project. Right now, some of the things we're doing in the building, it's sort of an incubator where young people are starting businesses and organizations. We have two students, Grace and Shamley, are starting a business in there. We have probably the biggest success in our project was Dom and Phil Rabelais, whose parents are here tonight. Early on in our project, Dom came to me and said, we want to do a concert. I said, we don't have a space to do that. I said, oh, we'll just do it in this office space. So they organized this concert. We probably had 100 people show up for that thing. It was a huge success, and from there, not long after that, one of our tenants moved out and they said, how about if we build a music venue in there? That we said, sure, let's go for it. So they, we brought a whole crew of people in just to renovate the space, and we've been, for the past 2 years, it's been a very popular spot for the young people in this community. And in fact, one of the interesting things that happened as a result of that project was one day somebody came and said, hey, let's do an art show in there. And the art, as an art space, it's become one of the most busy things going on in our space. So almost everybody who's been involved in our project has some association with MUM. All of the projects that we've been involved with the university, all these, basically what happened was Andrew Perry and Robbie came to me and said, we want to form this group about something. I had no idea what they were talking about. That turned into this, we've probably had 50 different MUM students or staff people be part of this group whose primary focus is on organizational and social transformation. And really their purpose is to create positive change at MUM and in the world. And going back to what Antoine was talking about, I really see there's this huge shift taking place on the planet, and that we in Fairfield are being called to play a bigger role in taking action out in the world to create the positive change. And those are the young people that are showing up at MUM right now that inspire me every day. And I see the faculty and staff and administration inspired by them, and feel like they're also being part of that support. And lastly, I really want to, the person who's made this happen in terms of initiated it and got me back connected up with what's going on with MUM and feel very committed to doing whatever I can to make MUM be successful is Terrence just showed up here tonight, and I'm very excited, Pookie Freeberg. A couple of years ago, we were friends, and she said, hey, will you come and meet with Robbie and Troy, who at that time were working on the whole project to bring sustainable principles into the university and with the buildings and all that. And that led to many other connections, and then she got involved in the whole effort with the organizational and social transformation. And lastly, I want to really give thanks to the faculty of the university. Probably the foundation of everything that I do in my life came from getting my master's in education from here and from really getting grounded in Marcy's knowledge. And that along with TM and the TM Cities program it gives me the ability to access the part of me, the inner wisdom, the inner knowing that leads me to those things that I feel like I'm really here to do, and that is to be part of this whole thing that's happening in Fairfield and at the university. So thank you very much.
Joseph, would you like to join us? Our next Maharshi Award is in the area of development of consciousness. It recognizes that the unfoldment of consciousness is essential for the well-being, happiness, progress, and fulfillment of all levels of life, individual and collective. It shows that the consciousness has two values, active and silent, relative and absolute. The silent absolute value is the state of a life excitation of consciousness, which underlies all excited states. To enliven this state, the awareness is a necessary condition for the development of higher states of consciousness and the use of one's full creative potential in daily life.
All right, I was asked to present the award for Dr. Linwood King tonight, who is receiving a Maharshi Award. I apologize, I don't know how long Dr. King has been here. There he is. But I know it's been a while. And I can personally say I have had many conversations with this man, and I know he genuinely cares about the students and goes at great lengths to take care of them. Whatever you need, problems, a TM check, he's great for that too. Go to him. He served the students, he served the, you know, Maharshi's knowledge. So he is retiring is what I hear.
Just from this.
From this, yeah. From this. So and passing it on, I guess, to Jan Seckler here. So I feel honored to have gotten to meet you and work with you a little bit. So it's great. So congratulations.
Thank you. I was thinking about Forrest Gump's mother told him that life is like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get. And I moved up to Fairfield in 1984 from North Carolina to meditate with a bunch of people. I find that my meditation goes nicely when I'm in a larger group, and this is the biggest group in the Western Hemisphere. And had no idea that I would ever go into college and graduate and do many of the things that I've ended up doing. But Dr. Guarini in 2008 approached me and said, there's this job opening, and she hired me to function as the Associate Dean of Men at that time. And I have had the most amazing experience in these 2.5 years. I've met the coolest people from 18 years of age to 88 years of age, and students, other faculty members, other administrators. I even met this wonderful woman that's been my wife for the last 9 days on this job. So it's been an absolute delight to just have that value of friendship, an extremely expanded friendship in one case at least, working with Dr. Ellen Jones and Sheila Swanson, Jonathan Shapiro, Tricia Spurio, Snezhna Petrovsky, John Spear, all the people from our department. And it's just been Jan Seckler, a great, great fun time, really. And so I appreciate you allowing me to serve you. And as I exit this job at the end of December, one thing that I'll keep going is my attraction to sitting with you doing TM checks. So if you need any help with that, give me a shout or send me an email, and we'll sit down and have the mega dive together. Groovy.
So I'd like to thank the award recipients tonight. And I know that their hard work, we've honored that, we've shown how much we care about their efforts tonight, but there's so many other people. Like my inbox, when we sent out those emails for nominations, was just so many people, so much heart value in this university. So can I have a round of applause for the recipients of these awards? And for those who didn't receive it this year, please keep them in your hearts and minds for next year. And now we'd like to show some footage from the David Lynch Foundation's press conference and benefit gala from this past Monday. The event was to raise awareness and funds for the new initiative called Operation Warrior Wellness, to teach TM to veterans with post-traumatic stress syndrome. You'll see clips of Russell Brand, Dr. Mehmet Oz, introducing the program for homeless men in New York City. Martin Scorsese, CNN anchor Candy Crowley, introduces our own Dan Burks, Clint Eastwood, David Lynch, and a brief interview with Roger Dr. John Hagelin by Russell Brand.
The fame, the celebrity, the consumerism, the wealth, all of these things that pledge happiness but deliver so little of substance. And in learning about transcendental meditation, I found very quickly access to a deeper state of happiness, which is very profound and absolute. See, like I can only talk about my personal experiences. What it felt to me was like the dissolution of my idea of myself. Like I felt like separateness evaporated. I felt this tremendous sense of oneness. I find it, I'm quite an erratic thinker, quite an adrenalized person. And like, but what, through meditation, I felt this this sort of beautiful serenity and selfless connection. You know, my sort of tendency towards selfishness, I felt like, I felt that kind of exposed as a superficial and pointless perspective to have. I felt a very relaxed sense of oneness. I felt like, I felt love, you know, sort of love for myself, but also love for everybody else, which again was unique because typically I would express that in the nocturnal activities. But now it felt absolute, without initiation or conclusion, a constant sense of absolute love between all of us. This is, for me, is a beautiful thing. I'm particularly happy to learn that it is applicable to people that have endured such phenomenal and extreme experience as some of the military speakers that we've heard today. And if there's anything we can do to assist people, if there is any technique that can make their suffering temporarily or permanently alleviate, then this is something we have to research and learn more about. So I'm very, very grateful to be involved. I'm very grateful to you, David, and to you, Bob, and everyone who has spoken today, and to all of you for attending. Thank you very much. Thank Cheers. You.
And we're going to begin the story right here in New York City with the DOE Fund, which is a highly successful reentry program for men who were recently incarcerated or were homeless. This visionary program was made feasible by my friend David Lynch, who's been teaching us tonight and teaches all the time how we can see the extraordinary in the ordinary. And he's a strong believer that how you do anything is how you do everything. And he brings that exact same passion as we need to the movies he makes, but also to the changes in our life. Because our job, I think, is to help the weakest among us. God bless you. Take a look at this.
That lifestyle of being homeless, it's a very, very lonely, depressing. So you're saying yes to a lot of things you want to say no to. Try to hide your true feelings out there. You know, you're not supposed to be living like this, but you're like trapped, you're like caught up. I thought I would die at it. I mean, I really did. I thought, you know, there's no way I can get out of this.
A typical day living in the streets is like walking up and down, right? Nothing really to do, trying to find a way to get money, you know, to eat. Maybe you collect cans or you beg for change, ask people for change, you know. Walking the streets all night and walking past restaurants, you know they threw food out and you're like so hungry. I was only eating out of garbage cans. It was terrible. Coming to the DOE Fund was the best thing that happened to me. You have a place to live, a safe environment to live in, right? You sure to eat three meals a day. They have all the tools you need to start your life over if you're serious. I learned about transcendental meditation, TM, at a house meeting.
Somebody talked to me about TM, you know what I mean? And I don't know what it was. You know, all I knew is that I was so stressed out.
I just heard meditation and I was like, well, let me try it. You know, maybe it'll help me.
At first I thought, okay, we're gonna meditate for 20 minutes and I'm gonna get some rest. I didn't know anything about the healing process. I didn't know anything about the rejuvenation, you know, the relaxing of the nerves. You know, I'm like, TM does all that. You know what I mean? It heals your body, what? You know, you can think again with your brains? Oh yeah, I need this.
When I meditate, all the outside pressure, all the things that, you know, are going on in my life just seems to go away for that 20 minutes. And then when it's over, you know, I'm ready to deal with them again.
I was just so frustrated, full of misguided anger. I didn't know where to direct it to, so like sometimes I gave it to my counselor. But he was always understanding with me, but he would say, you know what, you gotta stop talking to people like that. You gotta stop that, man, you know. But when I started doing TM, like I said, I didn't even realize it. I'm not doing that no more. People say, you know what? Yeah, you look very relaxed today. And there's not a whole lot of craziness. I'm just sitting there, calm. You know, and it's surprising even to me.
I'm part of something greater, a lot bigger. And meditation has helped me with that, to realize, to connect with that.
I feel that inner peace within me. I feel that calm spirit. The gift of transcendental meditation, you know, is another tool, you know, for me to deal with life on life terms. This is the best kept secret in town.
Good evening. My name is Nazarene Griffin, and I'm the director of the Doe Fund's Harlem Center for Opportunity. I'm a little nervous, right? A lot of people here. The Doe Fund is a program that helps men break the cycle of homelessness, addiction, and criminal recidivism through paid transitional work. I've been a program director for 15 years. I'm also a graduate of this program, having been homeless and addicted to drugs myself over 17 years ago. Craig Hall and John Buster, who you've seen in the video, are two of my guys. They're good men. There are thousands of them like that that the Doe Fund has helped over the years. We do all we can to give these men the tools they need to live a better, a healthier, and a productive life, one that brings them happiness. Our core belief at the Doe Fund is that work works. Our men need a job, they need a home, and they need the ability to deal effectively with the changes and challenges that life throws at them. Stress is one of their biggest enemies. It keeps them down and it holds them back. And their lives are packed with stress, physical, emotional, and mental. Transcendental meditation is a remarkable tool. I know personally, from my own experience, how effective it can be. I was one of the first at the Doe Fund to learn how to meditate. And I quickly experienced many of the stress-reducing effects. I'm sharper, I'm calmer, and I used to go through Tylenol and Advil like candy. Not anymore. I can't even remember the last time I had a tension headache. For our men, though, meditation is much, much more than just getting rid of headaches and blood pressure. It makes a huge difference in their lives. It's an essential tool for them that they can use for the rest of their lives. Thank you, George and Harriet, for founding the Doe Fund. Thanks to Barbara Dalio, David Lynch, and Bobby Roth for bringing TM to us. And many thanks to all of you today for your support. You are helping change lives forever. Good evening.
David, I wanted to offer my support and encouragement and these efforts to help children and veterans, anyone who needs the help to overcome stress through meditation. Of course, a lot of drama is projected onto the screens of our consciousness, our minds, day and night, patterns that you learn from childhood, intrigues, resentments, hatreds and terrors. And the most difficult ones, the most wrenching anxieties can be triggered by anything at all. They come upon us and grab a hold of us. And we identify them as real because they're so immediate. And I guess the common response is to tough it out. In other words, to suffer. Now, I've been a firm believer in suffering all my life. My pictures are kind of volatile, and they certainly can attest to that. And yet, recently, I learned that you may not have to suffer to make them as much. May not be the way it's supposed to be. I think of children. Children are particularly susceptible to absorbing the anxieties, their anxieties. They look at the adult world, they see a scary place, big, They read, they try to read the looks and the gestures of the adults. They try to master it all, whether it's homework, mathematics, or the entanglements, the emotional entanglements between the parents. And for veterans who've endured the trauma of war, I can only imagine the potential barriers, I mean, the fears and the suffering. So for the last few years, I've been practicing meditation, trying, and it's difficult to describe the effect it's had on my life. I can only mention maybe a few words: calm, clarity, a balance, and at times a recognition. And it's made a difference. On this night, as you're trying to raise the funds necessary to bring meditation, transcendental meditation, to students, veterans, homeless men and women, Native Americans, anyone suffering from strong stress, I want to thank you. And I encourage all of you gathered here tonight to support this foundation, David's Foundation. Thanks and good night.
Dan Burks was 19 when he enlisted to fight in Vietnam.
December 18th, 1967, Newsweek. Yeah, 5 days after my birthday. This is a story called The Day's Work. And this is my unit. We went out and got ambushed. And this is me. Yeah, doing my job. We were attacked at this place called Budap. That fight went on for 2 weeks. 2 weeks. 2 weeks. The first night, I killed 14 people. There were 2,500 of them and 250 of us. The next morning, in front of my fighting position, 18 of our men did. So this is very, very, very distressing, and it creates huge amounts of distress in, you know, in your system. And then later in the magazine, coincidentally, is this. This is an article about Maharishi Mahesh Yogi and a couple guys in my platoon. One of them got the magazine, and he came running over. He said, "Burks, you got to read this." So I did. And I said, I'm going to do that. Because it talks about stress release, about becoming a whole person. So then the next part of the story is getting home. And that's a whole big deal, because things changed. Things changed. All of a sudden, you're in a different culture. All these people don't understand you. They have no idea. They don't realize that you're always, always still in the rubber plantation of the jungle. You're always on adrenaline high. You're looking to protect your buddies. You're looking to protect yourself. You're looking to kill the enemy. I stopped talking to my parents. I had really bad relationships with other people. I did not feel happiness. I did not feel sorrow. I did not feel surprise. My feelings were gone. So one day, my wife comes home, says, "Hey, I saw a poster about transcendental meditation." And I remembered that article in that magazine about Maharishi, and that I said I was going to do this. And so I go in, and he says, "Okay, sit down, do this." And I could not believe what happened. It was the difference between heaven and hell. It was absolutely transformational. All that feeling of stress and all that feeling of heaviness, I could feel it melt away from my head to my feet. And from that moment on, things changed. Things changed. No more drugs, no more alcohol. Life changed. My emotions came back. My life came back.
Now it is my pleasure to introduce
a man of convention, a conviction, a man who doesn't talk too much, but who is a staunch supporter of the David Lynch Foundation, coming to you from California, Clint Eastwood.
Well, good evening, David. I just want to apologize for not being able to be there tonight at the Metropolitan Museum and be there for the David Lynch Foundation and the Wounded Warrior Program. I think I'm a great supporter of transcendental meditation. I've been using it for almost 40 years now. And I think it is a great tool for anyone to have and to be able to utilize as a tool for stress. And stress, of course, comes with almost every business, but especially considering the stress that our men and women of the armed forces would go through, the anxieties of going either in or coming from combat, and stress syndromes of various types. I think it's a great tool. I think there's enough studies out there that show that transcendental meditation, or TM as we all call it, is something that could benefit everybody. And I congratulate you and everyone there tonight. And again, apologize for not being there. I want to pay tribute to Captain Yellen and Colonel Brian Reese and Ed Sloman, Master Sergeant, and everyone there who is supporting this this organization. I think you'll find it's a great system to use and life in general. Otherwise, why would I have been doing it all these years? Almost half of my life, I've just calculated. So have a good evening. I'm sorry I'm not there. Bye-bye.
I would like to thank the great Clint Eastwood and the great Marty Scorsese for appearing here tonight via video. Their support means so much to the foundation and so much to me personally.
What does science tell us about meditation?
A lot. Meditation...
I'm genuinely interested.
That was it.
Oh yeah, that would have been sure. Oh, fair enough, he is a quantum physicist.
Meditation, properly understood, is a technique to turn the outwardly directed attention within, to experience deeper, quieter levels of thought, to go beyond the thinking process, to experience pure subjectivity, pure consciousness, the source of thought. Science says this meditative state is a fourth state of consciousness, distinct from waking, dreaming, sleeping. It's a state of very deep rest, deeper than sleep, and simultaneously a unique state of electrophysiological brain functioning. That means orderliness of brain functioning, maximum EEG coherence. And that's important because EEG coherence correlates with rising IQ, intelligence, creativity, learning ability, good looks, psychological stability, emotional maturity. Everything good about the mind depends on its orderly function. So.
How are those neurological factors that you've just described palpable and tangible? How can you prove that?
Simple tests for IQ that kids all take, that adults avoid. You can show that, you know, at university kids, for example, intelligence continues to rise. It rises in adults in elderly homes. And at that point, intelligence is not supposed to be increasing. After the age of, well, about your age, intelligence begins to shrink dangerously.
20! It's a cruel world.
So the fact that anybody can start a process that increases orderly brain functioning, raises intelligence, creativity, learning ability, academic performance, moral reasoning, is an amazing tool for education. I'm very excited about this as an educator.
I've noticed my moral reasoning has gone through the bloody roof since I started meditating. I'm so morally reasonable, sometimes I don't leave the house. What does the transcendental element of transcendental meditation mean, please, Doctor?
The transcendental is important because it's not about thinking or concentrating or contemplating or visualizing or any kind of intention, any kind of effort. It's about slipping beyond thought to the experience of the source of thought, which is being, pure subjectivity, pure wakefulness. So in that, when that happens, the awareness, which is normally sharply localized, and the harder we concentrate, the more sharply, narrowly focused the awareness is, starts to relax and expand and relax and expand, and then boom, unbounded. Then you get a burst of EEG coherence, and then when that becomes stabilized, orderliness of brain function becomes color fast, permanent.
So just in simplistic laymanistic terms, that initial focus on the mantra gives you access to a broader consciousness.
It's not the focus on the mantra, it's the fading of the mantra, which is part of the process. It's an ancient trick. It happens automatically. It's gone. And when it's gone, you are no longer localized. You are unbounded. It's that unbounded awareness subjectively that gives the global EEG coherence, orderliness of brain functioning. So it's not really about concentrating on a mantra, it's about transcending the mantra.
I understand. Is there a religious or a doctrinaire component to this system?
It's not a religion, it's not a philosophy, it's this technique, pure and simple, to experience the source of thought, pure consciousness. Now, people of different faiths may say to them, it has deep religious significance. It resonates with their own beliefs. Most, many religious faiths, spiritual traditions, believe in the fundamental unity of life, which is now a scientific fact, the fundamental unity at the basis of the diversity of the universe. That's what the unified field is, but you knew that. Transcendental meditation.
I did actually, because I looked at that tree drawing.
That's it. That's it.
Like there is unified. All being is.
At the source of diversity. Yeah, the basis of diversity. So that diversity on this level, molecular, less, atomic, less, nuclear, less, subnuclear, and then one. The force is all unified. That's the unified field, the fulfillment of Einstein's dream. The superstring revolution, which hit the UK, I understood, it hit here. And
yeah,
since then.
Nuts for superstring over there. It's like Beatlemania all over again.
You could say that the long-term result of meditation is living the scientific truth of the unity of life, experiencing it momentarily and then stabilizing it and living the unity of humanity as a living reality in daily life. And that's what David Lynch was talking about, enlightenment, higher states of consciousness.
This question, Doctor, it seems a bit aggressive, but I assure you it was given to me by Bobby Roth, who is a good man. This is not, like, I'm not improvising these, that's why I've got this thing. You are a quantum physicist. It begins with a statement, that's irrefutable, we've already established that. What are you doing talking about meditation? Seems aggressive, but that's the question.
Since Einstein, physics has been about discovering the fundamental unity at the basis of the surface diversity of the universe. You dig beneath the molecular, atomic, nuclear, and these big particle accelerators to discover the unity deep at the core of physical reality. Meditation is a subjective means of experiencing that same fundamental unity of life. And that fundamental experience transforms the brain. It transforms the physiology as well. But really, it's the same unity from the perspective of modern physics that is experienced subjectively in the meditative state, state of pure consciousness.
I really like that. I really like it when things in the world of physics seem to be replicated in the spiritual world, that there is a presumed oneness between us all as spiritual beings, and this appears to be mirrored by the physical world, that we are all one, that separation is an illusion, that conflict is unnecessary. It's like we're having to go at ourselves, like sort of a war between nations, like chewing your own foot off.
Like that.
Yeah. Don't try and mug me off, mate. I'll do this for... living. I don't come round your house and try and split atoms. Right, so I think now we've got, there's a scientific element to our understanding. I think that, is there anything else that you think we should add, or has this been perhaps the best interview you've ever encountered?
One thing, and that is, I'm an educator. I'm really excited about the application of this for kids. Because school, you spend so many years there, and you wonder what it's for, but it's really ultimately for the full development of mind, body, and behavior. The addition of 20 minutes experiencing the unbounded self, developing the brain, actually developing intelligence, creativity, harnessing the full potential of the brain, that's what education should do. You add this to education, the transformation in the schools is unbelievable. So last year we launched at Radio City Music Hall a tech program to teach 1 million at-risk kids. We've done 120,000. Since then, 350 schools have incorporated this into the curriculum here and all over the world. It's going to be soon a very different world. And this is the wave of the future. The goal of our foundation is to get there sooner rather than later. And with the help of everybody here,
we will really achieve meditation, full potential, all over the world. And that's what we're about. And thank you very much.
Thank you, Dr. John Hagman.
I'd like to thank all the great people that have appeared on this stage tonight. I'd like to thank all the great people behind the stage tonight. And I'd like to thank all of you for being here. Now let's go enjoy dinner together. Thank you very much.
So I had a very deep thought during that beautiful interview between Dr. John Hagelin and Russell Brand. I want to share that with you. If you see Dr. John Hagelin, will you ask him where he got that tie? It's awesome, and I want it. All right. So before we conclude the evenings, we have a great ending statement by our university vice president. But before that, we have a quick statement by Lindsay Lass.
Hello, everybody. I apologize for my haggard appearance. A group of us just got back from caroling to raise money for our flying block. And that is also why I'm making this announcement. We're having a benefit concert Monday night at 7:30 at Cafe Paradiso. Suggested donation, $5 for students and NIA participants, and $10 for general public. We might have some brownies there and stuff, so it would be great if you came and joined us. Have a great night.
And finally, a few words from Dr. Craig Pearson.
And we'll be caroling for you as you leave tonight.
And they'll be caroling you for blah, blah, blah. Thank you so much.
I just love our seasonal celebrations, and I wish more people were here to have the inspiration that we have four times a year. They're really great. I want to thank Remington Bain and everybody on Global Student Council for helping organize this event. And also want to thank others who helped, Rihanna Koppel, Lin-Lin, Jonathan McNamara, Jared Brown, Alex Joy, Stephanie Faulkner, Haley Halter, Shane Ernest, Mary Montgomery, and master intelligence behind all of that, Ellen Jones. So thank you for this evening. And once again, congratulations to our very deserving recipients of the Maharshi Award. Thank you for your service to all of us and our community. Jai Guru Dev.